Mexico, like much of Latin America, moved abruptly away from the inward-looking model of import substitution in the 1980s and 1990s. There were a lot of domestic reasons for the market-based reforms of this period, and we will examine some of those in another video. In this video, though, we're going to look at some of the external factors behind the reform and why they were so influential. A new consensus formed in the late 80s and early 90s as Latin American governments embarked on massive privatization programs, and they opened up their economies to international trade and generally liberalized their financial sectors. One external factor that might have led to this new consensus is the fact that CEPAL changed its mind. And CEPAL is a Spanish acronym for the Economic Commission for Latin America and the Caribbean. And this institution had long espoused import substitution, inward-looking development, and government intervention in the economy. So when it changed course and expressed doubts about that kind of program, people took note. They couldn't just label it as World Bank neoliberal propaganda. In 1992, CEPAL did change course. They started emphasizing trade openness, the importance of market forces, and macroeconomic balance. Raúl Prebisch, who was the first director of CEPAL, had argued for moderate and selective protection policy. This is something that governments definitely did not do in the region. Protection tended to be economy-wide and relatively extreme. The East Asian example also spurred Latin American governments to consider different models of industrialization. The East Asian tigers, South Korea, Hong Kong, Singapore, and Taiwan, grew very quickly in the post-war period, so much so that economists labeled it as miraculous growth. They also recovered much more rapidly from the debt crisis in the 1980s than Latin American countries did. The East Asian tigers moved away from ISI in the 1960s. They focused on building up human capital, infrastructure, and promoting exports. By the end of the 1980s, quantitative restrictions on imports were almost totally gone in the region, and the average tariff was down to about 10%. While Latin American governments had tried to bring about industrialization through inward-looking policies, the East Asian tigers had industrialized very quickly with export-led growth. In 1962, manufactured goods made up 17% of total exports in East Asia. This increased to 75% by 1980. And in the 1970s, the rate of effective protection was minus 1% in Korea, 19% in Taiwan, and almost 100% in Argentina. Labor productivity increased at the very high rate of almost 9% a year in Korea from 1973 to 85, and in comparison, it only went up by about 0.5% a year in Argentina. Chile also became a role model to other Latin American countries. While certainly not wanting to emulate the abysmal human rights record of the Pinochet regime, other countries started to take note that the Chilean economy grew very rapidly in the 1980s after Pinochet drastically reduced government intervention and allowed markets to operate more freely. Even in Chile, domestic criticism became more muted by the late 1980s because of the economic success of the program. Even Pinochet's successor kept much of this market-oriented approach. In the 80s and 90s, it was also increasingly common for Latin American presidents and their top bureaucratic staff, like cabinet ministers, to have an economic background. Many of these people went to top graduate programs in the U.S. and Europe, and they became more influential at the time. Their training tended to be oriented towards allowing markets to work and reducing the role of the state in the economy. They also helped better coordinate with multilateral institutions like the IMF and the World Bank because they spoke the same professional language. As a Mexican example, Carlos Salinas was a Mexican president from 1988 to 1994. He received his PhD in economics from Harvard University. This picture here is of his treasury secretary, Pedro Aspe, who received his PhD in economics from MIT. There were other events in the 1980s that caused the proponents of government intervention to question whether their model was the correct one. First, there was the collapse of the USSR, which made it abundantly clear how badly the communist system was actually performing in these countries. Second, and closer to home, there were a couple so-called heterodox reform programs in Argentina, Brazil, and Peru. They were considered heterodox because they relied on heavy government intervention rather than more market-oriented approaches to try to bring down inflation. Sebastian Edwards noted that many observers and political leaders consider the heterodox plans as a final opportunity for programs based on heavy government intervention to show that their policies would work in the new era of a global economy. The reforms, however, were wildly unsuccessful and had to be abandoned after creating hyperinflation. All of these factors helped to bring about a new way of thinking about the market and this world. All of these factors helped forge a new consensus about the role of the state in the economy, in Mexico specifically and Latin America in general. The inward-looking model was no longer affordable and was widely discredited. Role models like Chile and East Asia demonstrated that less government intervention and freer markets could bring about development more quickly and more effectively. To read more about these topics, take a look at Sebastian Edwards' book, Crisis and Reform in Latin America, From Despair to Hope. He goes through these external reasons for reform and also does a great job of looking at the internal reasons for each of the countries and why they decided to embark on a new path.